Here's Check on Stories we're following for you today on Robin Hood Radio. Pat Pagano's tri-state forecast calls for morning showers and partial clearing, windy, and temperatures will fall into the 30s. And tonight, clear and very cold, temperatures from 20 to 25 degrees. We'll get the full details on Pat's forecast in just a few minutes. In a story in this weekend's Republican American, last year, Connecticut investigators dug into questions raised after a close 64th House district race, ultimately concluding that local officials in Norfolk and North Canaan did not properly follow tallying and recount laws. The investigation, never reported but part of the public record, did not suggest the outcome would have been different for the winner, Democratic State Representative Maria Horn, who unseated Republican incumbent Brian Oler of Canaan. Investigators from the State Elections Enforcement Commission in two separate investigations determined human error was the primary cause for confusion over whether a recount of votes was necessary or not. According to the reports, both towns failed to comply with state laws, creating an election irregularity that caused a recount to be called outside of the re-canvass period. A recount is required when the difference of vote totals between the candidates was within 0.5%. The commission did find credible evidence that head moderator John Sullivan and Phyllis Bernard in North Canaan. The commission did find credible evidence that head moderator John Sullivan and Phyllis Bernard in Norfolk met November 7th and attempted to correct the returns before sending them on to the state. In North Canaan, there was a failure to include the tally of votes from people who registered to vote on Election Day, according to the SEEC. The error was corrected upon advice from Merrill's office. Despite the error, the town clerk and registrars did meet within 48 hours after the election to fix the error, complying with state law. The SEEC ultimately dismissed the complaint against North Canaan, but strongly urged town clerk Jean Jacquier and Register Ann McGuire and Patricia Kilty to review thoroughly the statutes and regulations pertaining to the post-election review and tally of returns, and exercise due care in preparing and reporting election results to the Secretary of State. Horn, who ultimately won the race and was re-elected in 2020, said she thinks the murkiness over whether there would be a recount is what raised anxieties. She said she witnessed no evidence of anybody intentionally finagling the numbers, but the movement of numbers, however small, does suggest some messiness. I hope we can improve this on the future. Oler, for his part, said he was unaware of the SEEC investigation or any complaints, but regarding the recount, he said he thought it was conducted fairly and executed properly. The New York Assembly's investigation into former Governor Cuomo's conduct in office has concluded the Democrat administration misrepresented how many nursing home residents died of COVID-19, according to a lawmaker who reviewed the committee's still-secret report. Assemblymember Phil Steck was among the Assembly Judiciary Committee's members who were able to review a copy of the approximately 45-page report on Thursday and Friday in advance of its public release, probably early this week. The report, compiled by New York City law firm Davis, Polk, and Wardwell, covers a wide array of allegations of misconduct by Cuomo, including sexual harassment claims and the participation of his staff in writing his book on the coronavirus pandemic. Connecticut labor officials reported last week the average weekly initial unemployment claims hit a pandemic low in October as Connecticut continued to add jobs for a 10th consecutive month. The October average of 3,502 unemployment claims for the first-time filers was the lowest in the state since February of 2020, just before the partial COVID-19 shutdown. The State Department of Labor also reported the unemployment rate dropped from 6.8% in September to 6.4% in October. The rate was 8.4% in October of 2020. Employment increased again in October for the 10th month in a row, with a net gain of over 5,300 jobs last month, according to a preliminary estimate that was released. The monthly jobs report for October also revised the initial estimate of September job gains from 4,700 to 6,500 for an even stronger finish to the third quarter of 2021. In New York, State Assemblymember Amy Pollan penned a letter this week to the governor, signed by 17 fellow assembly members, calling for New York to set a threshold for when masks can be removed in schools, saying that doing so will incentivize vaccination, provide clarity to school districts, and help children and communities. The letter noted research indicating that masks may disrupt children's interaction with their peers and their ability to form relationships with educators. The letter calls on the governor to follow Massachusetts' lead by establishing a threshold for removing masks, perhaps based on factors like vaccination rate or community spread. In Massachusetts, school districts can choose to allow vaccinated students to remove masks if at least 80% of all students and staff in the school are vaccinated. Well, 3 years after it was legalized, marijuana sales in Massachusetts have reached $2.3 billion. It's the state's third year anniversary of legal non-medical marijuana sales. The first two recreational marijuana retailers, New England Treatment Access in Northampton and Cultivate in Leicester, opened their doors on Tuesday, November 20th, 2018, and the industry that voters legalized on November 8th, 2016, has grown to include hundreds of businesses, thousands of employees, and, as of last week, roughly $2.3 billion in cannabis sales. So meetings coming up this week and events coming up this week in Kent. The Board of Selectmen have a special meeting that is happening today at 3 o'clock. Kent Park and Recreation Director Search Committee meeting is tonight at 7 p.m. And the Inland Wetlands Commission regular meeting is tonight at 7 p.m. In Sharon, coming up today, the Historic District Commission meets at 6 p.m. In Cornwall, tonight at 7 p.m., the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting via Zoom. Coming up tomorrow in Salisbury at 8:30 in the morning, the Salisbury Historic District Commission special meeting, and then at 5 p.m. the ZBA meets tomorrow. In Sharon tomorrow, the Board of Selectmen have a meeting set for 5:30 at Town Hall. In Cornwall tomorrow at 7:30, the Economic Development Commission meets via Zoom. Coming up on Wednesday, the Town Hall in North Canaan is closing early at 12 noon. In Sharon, the Energy Environment Commission meets on November 25th at 5:30. Also on Thursday, a reminder, in Salisbury, the Town Hall and Transfer Station will be closed. On Friday in Salisbury, once again, town offices are closed. The Millerton Fire Company annual Parade of Lights happens Friday. That begins at 4:30. In Cornwall, the Christmas tree lighting will be Friday at 5 p.m. at the Cornwall Bridge Green. November 27th through December 23rd from 10 to 4:30 each day, Housatonic Valley FFA Holiday Store is open to the public at Warren Turnpike at Falls Village at the high school. Trees, locally made gifts, wreaths, roping, poinsettias, and more. This all, of course, benefits the FFA program at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. There's a vendor craft fair at the Pilgrim House, 30 Granite Avenue in Canaan on Saturday from 10 until 3. Quality handmade crafts, great gifts, affordable prices, a gift basket raffle. It supports Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry. Sharon Fire Department's Photos with Santa holiday event happens Saturday from 11 till 3 at the Sharon Firehouse. Local photographer Marlena Akjar will take 5 pictures for $25 with Santa on the fire truck. Questions or more information, Marlena at photobymarlena@gmail.com. To register, contact Beth at 860-671-3911. The Salisbury Winter Sports Association annual ski and skate sale will be held Saturday, December 4th at the Lakeville Hose Company from 8 to 11. Not only can you find great deals in new or used equipment, you can also sell your unwanted stuff. Now, residents can bring equipment to be sold Friday from 4 till 7. No equipment will be accepted on Saturday. As always, the sale on Saturday runs from 8 a.m. till 11 a.m. From 11 a.m. to noon, residents can pick up their money or unsold equipment. Any remaining equipment after noon on Saturday will become the property of the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Equipment eligible for sale includes downhill skis, boots and poles, cross-country skis, boots and poles, ice skates, hockey equipment, snowboards and boots, and snowshoes. No clothing, please. Also, 8th graders from Salisbury Central School will be selling Christmas wreaths and taking orders for cabbage cheese for the holiday delivery, and the Lakeville Host Company will offer coffee, donuts, and breakfast sandwiches for sale. Proceeds from that sale will benefit several SWASA youth ski programs. Masks are recommended. More information, jumpfest.org. A baked goods and soup sale and Nick Cub fundraiser happens on Saturday, December 4th from 10 till 2 at the Copaic Community Building. Cookies, breads, pies, jams, and jellies, homemade soups, chili, meat, and vegetarian, macaroni and cheese, takeout only. Proceeds will benefit the local food pantry, community Christmas baskets, and Taconic Hills backpack program. Now, the Lakeville Ladies Auxiliary has a vendor fair coming up on Saturday, December 4th, 11 to 4. Santa will be there from 3 till 5, a tree lighting at 5:30. This is at the Lakeville Host Company, 3 Brook Street in Lakeville, Connecticut. There'll be cookies and hot chocolate. There'll be a small craft for children. The Sharon Holiday Tree Lighting, carols, hot cider, and cookies happens December 4th from 5 till 6:30. At 5 o'clock, the tree lighting organized by the Sharon Green Preservation Association. 5 to 5:30, carols with the Salisbury Band Christmas Brass and Hot Chocolate Society. And 5:30 to 6, hot cider and cookies on the porch of the Sharon Historical Society and Museum. The Sharon Fire Department Ambulance Squad invites the community to help light up the Sharon Town Green by purchasing luminaries in honor of family members, friends, loved ones, and to remember those who we've lost. You can purchase the Lights of Love. It helps the Sharon Ambulance Squad as a fundraiser. Luminaries are $10 each. Volunteers will collect forms, assemble the Lights of Love, place names and loved ones, and display on the Sharon Town Green on the day of the annual tree lighting, that is December 4th. All orders must be placed by next week. If you wish to keep your luminaries, you may collect them from the Sharon Green on Monday, December 6th before noon. More information or contact Betsy Hall, 860-364-0663, or Sharon Ambulance CT at gmail.com. The Sharon Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary Memory Tree Fundraiser is going on for the holiday season. Individuals can make donations in memory of a loved one or in honor of someone by donating $5 per individual. The tree will be displayed at the Sharon Town Hall through December the 31st. To obtain a form, contact the Selectman's Office at 860-364-5789 or go to the Sharon website, go to the announcement, click on it, and then click on the file attachment. The form can be dropped off at the drop box located at the rear of the Sharon Town Hall or mailed to the Sharon Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary, P.O. Box 794, Sharon. Now, the Sunday in the Country food drive is going on. They are feeding people, of course, in our region through the food pantries for both Thanksgiving and Christmas, working with the food pantries throughout our area in Amenia, Ancrum, Dover, Millerton, Pauling, Wassaic, and Lakeville and Sharon, Cornwall, and Canaan, Connecticut. It's also served numerous pantries in Massachusetts throughout its time. In addition to the holiday baskets, the organization responds to individual needs that might arise during the year. If you'd like to make a donation to help them or purchase raffle tickets to help them, on the web, sundayinthecountry.org. You can email sundayinthecountry@gmail.com or call 518-267-9865. Or you can send a check to the Sunday in the Country Food Drive, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546. Salisbury Bank has its 14th annual Fill the Basket Food Drive, collecting food and donations for local food pantries. It runs through December the 17th. All 14 branches of the bank, located in Berkshire, Litchfield, Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster counties, collecting donations of non-perishable food items and household supplies. Also, cash donations will also be accepted. All donated items, as well as monetary contributions collected, will be donated directly to the local food pantries serving each area. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakeninn.com. You'll find them on Facebook and also on Instagram. And remember, they have a new tapas menu. By Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. Dow Jones Industrial Average will start off the week at 35,601.98, the NASDAQ at 16,057.44, and the S&P 500 at 4697.96. We'll take a look at that tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.